outside. Honor them crazy murderers would never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see not joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a can just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Thursday, April the 16th, 2026, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, not when our enemies have sworn themselves to a blood oath to see us utterly destroyed. And make no mistake about it, that is exactly the situation in which we find ourselves. And if you needed any further validation of that, just simply pay close attention to what's going on in the world at this very moment. Unprecedented, really, in its evil and viciousness and brutality, folks. It's, it's as if the devil and his children have just been set loose from whatever chains may have been holding them back in the past, and now they are on the rampage. Anyway, folks, as promised, we are going to be doing trying to do several programs a week. We were supposed to do one yesterday, but I was just waiting for the cake to finish baking, folks, that cake being the ideas that we're going to try and cover on the program today. Like I've said before, I am a bit of a stickler when it comes to throwing something out there before it's done cooking. Hopefully by the time we get this thing finished here, that it will be understandable to you what we're trying to get across. We're going to try to make it quick, folks, because I've got a ton of stuff to do, not the least of which is fixing kids' cars. And you probably can't hear it in the background, but I can hear a bunch of hungry sheep that want out of their pasture so that they can go and graze. Let's see. We're not going to be doing a lot of heavy political analysis today, folks. We're going to kind of continue the discussion that we began on Monday, and which really has been a constant theme in all of the discussions that we've been having as of late. There's plenty of political analysis out there, folks, whether it's dealing with the war in the Middle East, or Charlie Kirk, or whatever. Of course, we have our own take on these things, usually that runs in extreme variance to the take that others are putting out there. But and we will get to that, folks, assuming, of course, that we're all left in the position to be able to carry on conversations like this. I will say one thing, however, which is that as far as the situation in Iran goes, somebody had left a comment on one of the programs that I did recently with Terrible Ted, as he refers to himself, over at America Betrayed. And my good friend in Romania, Bogdan, asked the question, what's going on with Trump and Iran and the blocking of the Straits of Hormuz and all the rest of that? Is there a bigger, deeper plan involved in all of this? And my response to that was, well, it's possible, you know, that he's doing his usual business, which is multidimensional chess. And yes, folks, he does do that. I know that's a very popular thing these days to somehow paint President Trump as a buffoon, as a moron, as in over his head, but he's not that, folks. He's quite intelligent. In fact, probably the most intelligent president we've had in our lifetimes. At the same time, folks, at this point, yours truly is not willing to invest in the notion that Trump has got a deeply thought out plan to, and that the Straits of Hormuz thing plays into this. Personally, folks, I think that he's just at the end of his rope. I think that he has just realized now that it's damned near an impossibility to try and prevent this unfolding apocalyptic disaster, and he's just grasping at whatever he can get his hands on. That's kind of how I read it. And one of the things that leads me to believe that is how seemingly irrational he has become. He just seems like somebody who's not getting a lot of good sleep, somebody who is running out of options. He's running out of road, running out of runway, and he just cannot get it across. He cannot get it into people's minds how important it is to avoid World War III. And I think that this is, at least in right now, in my opinion, folks, this is the best explanation for where things stand right now, is that he basically is, as I said, at the end of his rope. Now, as seemingly hopeless as that is, folks, it's not entirely hopeless. In fact, when I'm asked, you know, what's next and what should we hope for, my response is, well, practically speaking, the one thing that we should hope for is that Netanyahu and the rest of the Jewish power interests that are steering this planet into its absolute destruction and oblivion is that they do something really crazy. Okay, they do something just that's totally off the wall, and the president finally decides that he's had enough and he just lets loose, and we see a repeat of 70 AD. And that because otherwise there's not much hope, folks. Okay, yeah, there are big strides being made, like we've said several times recently on this program. The quality and quantity of the discussions that are taking place right now, particularly with individuals such as Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and others. If somebody would have asked me a year ago, do you think, what's the possibility that we would have this level of conversation, this level of full disclosure, I would say, no, it's too soon. It'll happen, but it's not going to happen that quickly. But it is, folks, and it really is, I think, in and of itself, something of a miracle. Okay. Nevertheless, despite the great progress that's being made, it's not being made fast enough in order to prevent the disaster that is more than likely headed our way. And even that in and of itself, folks, is not necessarily a bad thing. When and if, I think it's more when than if, Netanyahu and the rest of these insane Jews finally just take that one step too far, and they do something really, really horrible, folks, something that makes everything that they've done up to this point look like nothing more serious than spitting on the sidewalk. It's just going to push everything over the edge, and the Gentiles of the world who are in the process right now, folks. Right now, the Gentiles of the world are starting to feel queasy, starting to feel nauseous. They realize that they have ingested something that wasn't good for them. It's not agreeing with them. And, you know, they're getting closer and closer to that point where they have to run to the bathroom and vomit it all out. Okay. And, you know, there's nothing pleasant about that, folks. Anybody who's raised kids knows that it's a very scary thing for the kids. They don't like throwing up, and for good reason. You know, it's this violent action. And while you're going through it, you're thinking, oh, my God, this is the worst thing in the world. And then as soon as you're done, you just feel heavenly. It's like, oh, boy. You know, and it was worth going through that process of vomiting out all of this poison that's in your system. And that moment is coming, folks. Make no mistake about it. We're at that juncture now where, you know, the Gentile world is feeling queasy. They're feeling nauseous. They're just like, they're ready to toss their cookies, as the saying goes. And there's no question about the fact that when this does happen, it's going to be unpleasant and it's going to be uncomfortable. Okay. But the end result of that is going to be heavenly, to put it mildly. We are going to feel so much better. We're going to be back up on our feet and doing the things that, you know, we need to do. We just have to make sure, folks, that we don't eat that, we don't drink from that poisoned chalice again. We have to make sure that this horrible thing that is coming our way, that really is, for all intents and purposes, on top of us, that it doesn't happen again. And again, folks, as we've said before, none of this is happening by accident. We find ourselves in the position that we're in right now because things that we should have been told a long time ago, we weren't, and things that we should not have been told, we were. Things that should have been done a long time ago weren't. Things that should not have been done were. So we have to make sure, folks, that this doesn't happen again. Because next time, maybe it'll take another 2,000 years, but there's no telling what kind of hellish, diabolically created weaponry our enemies will have to use against us. I mean, now they've got nukes, they've got biological weapons that could wipe out all life on Earth. Who knows what they will get their hands on 2,000 years from now, or even 200 years from now, if the things that need to take place in the aftermath of this great global vomiting session that is coming, if it doesn't take place in the proper way and people wind up drinking that poison again. And that poison, of course, folks, is the Judaism itself. Okay? It is the lifeblood of the Jews, but for us, it is poison. It's what drives them to do what they do to us, and it is the source of our own demise. And so we have to make sure, folks, that this next time, assuming that we all live through it, that we make a complete break with this thing and that we don't do that thing which Jesus Christ told us not to do. He said, don't pour new wine into old wineskins. Okay, if you pour the new wine into the old wineskins, then the old wineskins are going to break, and then the wine, the life-saving wine, will spill out all over the ground where it is wasted. Well, that is exactly what has happened, folks, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in. It's because thousands of years ago, when this revolution was just getting started, the people who we trusted to do our thinking for us decided to inject the poison of Judaism into this revolutionary new ideology known as Christianity that was meant to save us from the very people right now who are holding a rusty knife to our throat. And it took 2,000 years, but they managed to basically flip the revolution that Jesus Christ started on its head. And that brings us to today's discussion, folks, which is the topic of, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, Christian constitutionalism. Now, folks, one of the things that we have to do in order to understand the scope of all of this is we have to look at this with both eyes open. Whenever you bring up the topic of Jesus Christ and Christianity within a political discussion, what you inevitably get is some version of let's not mix religion and politics and vice versa. Well, folks, that notion is false. Jesus was very much involved in politics. Now, those of you listening to this are going to say, well, you know, how was he involved in politics? What is politics, folks? Politics is what governs the, you know, every family. They have a political arrangement that's been set up. You have the king, you have the head of the house, which is father, and the queen, the mother. And then each child, depending on where they happen to be in the lineup of birth and age, they have some degree of sovereignty. Okay, they have the ability to tell their younger siblings, hey, don't do that. Okay, that thing you're doing right now is dangerous. Mom and dad wouldn't want you to do it. Don't do it. So it is a political system that exists in every family. And the things that Jesus Christ said, the things that he left us, the examples and the commandments and all of the rest of that, they begin in the family and then they move upwards to the village, the community, the state, the nation, the world, okay? On earth as it is in heaven, folks, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the prayer that Jesus said, the only prayer that we needed to say. On earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here we're talking about a kingdom, which obviously is a political term. And he's saying that we're supposed to, we, his followers, we who carry on his revolution after him, that we're supposed to, as much as it's possible, to make this life, this earth, as close to the kingdom of heaven as possible. Okay. So it is a political thing, folks. And in framing this discussion, I'm going to start off with a little example. So imagine that you go to the mailbox today and you see a letter in there addressed to you, and it's from some law office. Okay, and you open it up and there's a letter in there telling you, congratulations, you had a very wealthy uncle. And he has left you in his will $100,000. Okay, well, you're looking at this and there's a check there for $100,000. And you're thinking to yourself, my goodness, this is just incredible. You know, this is my lucky day. And you go and look up this rich uncle that you didn't know that you had, and you come to find out that the guy was worth hundreds of billions of dollars. Hundreds of billions, not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds of billions of dollars. And you're the only living heir to this inheritance. And you're saying to yourself, well, wait, if he was worth hundreds of billions of dollars, then why am I only getting a check as the only living heir to this estate? Why am I only getting a check for only $100,000? And then you do a little bit of investigating and you find out that the people who were managing his estate, they just bled it dry. Okay, they embezzled the money. They didn't, you know, and the only reason, by the way, adding to our little example here, the only reason that you got the letter is because they were close to, they were being audited, this engaged in this huge act of illegal embezzlement. And so they contact you with the news that you've got this $100,000 after they have squandered hundreds of billions, okay? So don't get me wrong, folks. I think any of us would be really grateful to receive a check from out of the blue that we never imagined getting for $100,000. But when you find out that the original amount that you should have received was in the billions, that could just be used for all sorts of wonderful things, putting your kids through college, paying off your debts, helping out extended family members, friends, neighbors, starting a charitable organization to help feed the poor, things like that. Well, in essence, folks, this is the story of our lives now. Those of us who right now are, our lives have been reduced to a question mark as to whether or not we're all going to be alive tomorrow, because the inheritance that was left to us by Jesus Christ has been squandered. Okay, from the very beginning. The shysters got into the estate and they began plundering it of all of its wealth that was meant to save us from this situation in which we find ourselves right now, which is the Jews sitting on top of the world with unchallengeable power, not even the President of the United States is able to effectively stop them from what they're doing. Not and just for the record, folks, what they are intent upon doing is setting the entire planet on fire. Okay? And not even the President of the United States seems to have the ability to prevent this. Something I meant to mention on the last program, folks, and something that everybody needs to keep in mind, and particularly those out there who are really frustrated with the president because they say, well, he's got the power to just pick up the phone and call Netanyahu and bring an end to this whole thing. No, he doesn't, folks. He doesn't. This notion that the president of the United States is the most powerful man in the world is not true. The most powerful man in the world is Benjamin Netanyahu. And the reason that he's the most powerful man in the world is because he's the most dangerous man in the world. Okay? And the reason that he is the most dangerous man in the world is because he is not just willing to do the worst, willing to do things which other Gentile leaders are not willing to do, including setting the entire planet on fire. Not only is he willing to do these things, folks, he is inclined to do them. And people such as the president and other leaders understand this about Netanyahu, that we have somebody here who is just diabolically deranged, and it's not just him, he's the face of it, but he's got 20 million of his co-religionists standing behind him, folks, both on the left as well as the right. Okay. As we said on, I believe it was the last program, folks, if they're Jews, if they're Jewish, if they identify as being Jewish, if they identify with their Torah Judaism, which commands them to destroy the world as we know it and to remake it more in the image of what their father, the devil, wants than the way it was created, then they're a problem. Even if they say that they're against the war, they don't like Netanyahu, there are other forms of warfare and evil that they do support, even if they don't support what's going on in the Middle East. And of course, the question that has to be asked at that point on our part is whether or not they're telling the truth. But anyway, so getting back to this inheritance and this $100,000 check, okay, so much of the wealth of what Jesus intended to leave for us so that we could manage our political affairs in this life on this planet, so much of it was taken away, folks, with this forced vaccination that took place shortly after this thing known as Christianity was started. And this forced vaccination, folks, was where this horrible poison was injected into our intellectual and spiritual bloodstream known as Judaism. Okay, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. All the way back to the very beginning. Now, this topic of Christian constitutionalism, let's just spend a few minutes talking about this. Now, get into, especially the Americans, okay? I mean, we are very, very proud of our Constitution, and with good reason, folks. You know, this is the thing that's supposed to act as a prison of sorts for the government in saying you cannot step out of bounds. You have to stay within very fixed boundaries of your duties, your responsibilities, and then that's it. And, of course, we have this system, the court system, that decides whether or not the government is supposed to, is acting constitutionally. Okay. But the problem is, folks, is that when you get a crooked court, they will come up with all sorts of things that they say are constitutional and therefore legal. And then they will come up with all sorts of things that they say are unconstitutional and therefore illegal. Just give you a quick example, okay? Our founding fathers here who gave us our Constitution never mentioned the issue of abortion, okay? But yet, 1973, after almost 200 years of this Constitution being the supreme law of the land, Supreme Court suddenly discovered this thing in the Constitution that said that taking an unborn child and ripping it limb from limb until it bleeds to death is a constitutional right. Okay? 9 people got together and made this decision. And the result of this was that all of the laws in all of the 50 states governing this horrific and satanic process of murdering unborn children, all of their state laws regulating this or outlawing it were killed, shot dead. Okay? And in the process of the next 50 years or so, somewhere between 70 and 100 million living human beings had their lives exterminated. All because it was decided by 9 people that it was unconstitutional to prevent a woman from doing this to her child and unconstitutional to prevent the doctor who is making good money by doing this to prevent him from doing it. Okay. By the same token, folks, okay, here we have a travesty where in something that isn't even close to being a constitutional right is made constitutional. You have other situations where something that is a constitutional right is made unconstitutional. And that is, of course, we're talking about people having the freedom to practice their religion. Okay? The law of the land now says that it's unconstitutional for the local fire department to put a manger scene out during Christmas time, or any kind of expression of religion. Okay, even though the Constitution is very clear on this. The Constitution says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or freedom of religion. Okay, and yet these crooked and almost entirely Jewish organizations such as the ACLU and others have gotten in there and they have twisted the arms of the Supreme Court into declaring certain things constitutional that aren't, such as abortion, and certain things that are constitutional, such as the freedom of religion, to be unconstitutional. Okay, now this isn't a civics lesson, folks. Bear with me. All right, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need in deciding whether or not something is constitutional, quote unquote, from a Christian standpoint. Okay? Jesus Christ gave us the law. He spoke very plainly about things. He said, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. And so, therefore, folks, when anybody comes along, whether it's a pastor or a preacher or a priest or even a pope, and they say something that obviously runs counter to what Jesus Christ gave us, then obviously our allegiance has to be with what Jesus Christ said. Now, what am I talking about here, folks? Well, going back to what I said earlier, the beginning of this program, there are things that we were told thousands of years ago that we should never have been told. And things that we should not have been told, we were told. Now, what are those things that we were told that we should not have been told? Well, that the Jews are God's chosen people. That they were the favored children of God. And that they were given all of these commandments and permissions to do to fellow human beings. Actually, I shouldn't say that, fellow human beings. To do to the rest of us what they're doing right now. What they're doing now, folks, whether it's the wars in the Middle East or whether it's abortion in the West, is that they're waging war against the Gentiles of the planet, same war that they have been waging since the founding father of their tribe, Cain, murdered Abel. So this notion that, now, how do we know, folks? How do we know that this is something that we should never have been told as followers of Jesus Christ, that this notion that the Jews are God's chosen people or were God's chosen people, how do we know that this is something that we should never have been told? Because Jesus Christ was very clear about it. He didn't say that they were God's chosen people. He said that they were children of their father, the devil. He called them a brood of vipers and a pack of wolves. Every unflattering thing that could be said about them, he said it. That's our Constitution, folks. So when anybody comes along, as I said, a pastor, a preacher, a president, prime minister, a priest, or even a pope who says, we owe the Jews a great debt because they're our elder brothers in the faith. They gave us our Christianity. And they, no, folks, no. If they were those things, then Jesus would not have given up his life warning us about them. He would have spoken about them in the most glowing terms, and he would not have given up his life to warn us about the danger that they pose to us. This is the Christian constitutionalism that I referenced earlier, folks, is that we have to begin this process now while we have whatever time is left that we have of vomiting out, sorry to have to be so graphic in my imagery here, folks, but that's what it's going to take. We have to begin the process of vomiting out, detoxifying ourselves, whatever we have to do to get every last molecule of this Judaism out of our systems. Everything. As Christians, the only thing that should matter to us is Jesus Christ. And he made this clear when he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. That's Alpha and Omega, is the A and Z in the Greek alphabet, folks. Funny that he said that and not, you know, the Hebraic alphabet. He used the Greek alphabet, a Western term, which means stay away from all of this Hebrew stuff. Go westward towards the Greeks and the Romans, which clearly is what happened, folks. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the only one you need. You don't need Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Solomon, David, Moses, all of the rest of them. You don't need them. All you need is me. I am the good shepherd, and all of the shepherds who came before me were thieves and liars. This is what Jesus said. So we have to do this, folks. We have to do this business of becoming Christian constitutionalists. And expelling every vestige of that old poison out of our systems. Okay. This is what is going to, this is what's going to earn us whatever miracle may be coming our way, folks. If we can show, hey, look, there's something worth saving here. Okay. We are doing what our founding fathers didn't do thousands of years ago. We're getting every last bit of this evil out of our systems, and this is what is going to precede whatever miracle may be coming our way. Now, one last thing, folks. I can see the sheep there, really. They're getting ready to riot. Okay, one last thing. As much as we cover a lot of dark material here, and it is dark, folks, make no mistake about it. People are dying horribly. Worse are the people who are left alive, who have to continue on living without arms and legs and eyes. And it is horrible, dark stuff, but there are wonderful things headed our way. Make no mistake about it, folks. We're on the verge of something just apocalyptically horrible, but we're also on the verge of something miraculously wonderful. We're going to have to go through that bad part first, folks, just like vomiting. You know, it's a horrible thing you have to go through, but then after you go through it, you feel so much better. So what I'm saying here is that understand that all of us, you know, all of us were born at this particular time in human history. And I don't think by accident. We were all chosen to be born at this time in order to play some role in this great struggle that is taking place right now. Okay, all of us have been enlisted in this army for good, this army to defeat the enemies of Jesus Christ. And so we have to go into this understanding, yes, we may very well take a bullet, literally or figuratively, on the battlefield, and we won't live to necessarily see victory. But there's no question about the fact, folks, that we are going to win this. Okay? And how do we know we're going to win it? Because Jesus Christ told us. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this thing that I have begun. And he proved this by rising from the dead. This was his way of telling us, whatever power these monsters seem to have over me and over this thing that I have built, this constitution for Gentile civilization, Gentile prosperity, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, okay? These enemies will make frighteningly impressive inroads in destroying this, but they won't succeed. And that's what we have to keep in mind, folks. is how good it is for all of us to be living at this time and to have the opportunity to do the things that we're doing now and the things that we will be called to do in the future. And understand, folks, that even if we don't live to see victory, nevertheless, victory is going to happen. It's going to come. It always ends the same way with the Jews. It always does. Whatever Tower of Babel they build, it comes crashing down on top of them. Do they learn from it? No, they don't. Just like the Terminator terminology that we've used in previous program, folks, programs. It's almost impossible for them to change directions. Like the Terminator, he's got this program on his hard drive, and he, you know, whatever you do, whatever ammunition or ordnance that you load into him, it just stuns him temporarily, and then he gets back up, he's on his feet, and he's coming after you again. And this is the way it will always be, folks. As long as they are left here on this planet, it will always be this struggle. So what do we have to do, folks? We have to know our Constitution. We have to know it, and anybody that tells us differently and says something that runs counter to what Jesus Christ said about them, reject them immediately. Reject them immediately, folks. See them as the clear and present danger that they are. And as I think we said on the last program, folks, we have to, in the process of making good on Jesus's prayer on earth as it is in heaven, we have to make this life here uninhabitable for these enemies of ours. It has to be so good, so righteous, so honest, so fair. All of the things that are part of the atmosphere of heaven have to be here as well, to the point where our enemies are choking to death, suffocating to death, because the air is so pure. We have to make this planet uninhabitable for them by the goodness that we bring. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. I hope we made some sense. Hopefully we will be back this weekend. By the way, Stas sends his greetings to everyone out there. He's busy working two jobs, folks, and just really doesn't have much time for anything else. But he promises that he will be back ASAP. In the meantime, please also go check out the Rumble account, Rumble channel, I guess. It's Terrible Ted, as he refers to himself. I don't know why he says that, because he's really wonderful, Ted, over at America Betrayed. So that's it for today, folks, this Thursday, April the 16th, 2026 edition of the Ugly Truth Broadcast. Keep your chins up, folks. Understand that in the end, we are going to win. We know how this story ends, folks. Even though it's going to be very frightening going through this, nevertheless, we know how this is going to end. And that's what we have to keep in mind as we march forward on this battlefield. And making sure that at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is our King.